greetings to everybody out there at TFMR. Hey, it is Wednesday, July the 15th, the Ides of July. And I thought I would take some time today and take advantage of our relationship with One Gold by picking the brain of Ken Lewis once again. Ken, as you know, friend of the site. He's the CEO of One Gold, but he's also the CEO of Apmex, which is a major online bullion dealer that I'm sure many of you are familiar with. And so with all this stuff going on in the physical world and premiums, and I mean, what a crazy year. It's been such a great opportunity to check in with Ken from time to time to really hear what it's like where the rubber meets the road. So here we are again. Ken, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Craig.
I tell you what, let's just dive right in. Like I said, it has been crazy. And for those of you that are new here, One Gold, I don't know, Ken, what was it, maybe a year or two? When did you start One Gold?
Yeah, it's literally right out of T-Roll product.
Okay.
But realistically, it's about a year and a half old. I mean, you know, we just got started and got the word out a little bit, but it's about a year and a half old, coming on 2 years now, really.
And it's how do we describe it? A partnership with Sprott in Canada and the Royal Canadian Mint?
Well, yeah, the way to think about it is, at a very high level, is, you know, we looked at the crypto space, we looked at the digital space and how people can take a possession of metal without necessarily having to take physical delivery and how we could do that economically. And we partner with our guys at Sprott. They're a minority shareholder in this concept. And really what we did was we have metal stored at the Royal Canadian Mint. We have metal stored at Brinks and Loomis over in Europe and Switzerland. We have it stored here in the U.S. And so what we've done is physically backed at all times, 100%. Matter of fact, we don't sell metal we don't physically have in the vault to start with. It's not one of those things where we chase the metal. And so people can have that confidence. We have independent audits done. We have insurance. We have all the things that make sure you feel confident. And being backed by Apmex, you know that, you know, we're a legit player, been around 20 years, done over $11 billion in revenue. We're not a shady character, not a company that you can – it is a company you can trust, excuse me. So it's worked out well and allows people to buy as little as a dollar in gold at very attractive premiums, especially compared to the physical market, because we're storing it in a pooled position, like I said, at leading vault around the world. And we think it's gone really well so far.
I've been on board since day one, and you guys have been an advertiser here, and you and I have spoken, I don't even know how many times now, six or seven times, as a platform for owning physical gold with liquidity, physical silver with liquidity. Beats a pants off of a, you know, the sham GLD or things like that. But I can always take delivery too. And I access it through my phone with an app that looks like Coinbase. I mean, it's just awesome. So anyway, I'll add some of the past links so people can go back and review it. But I mean, Ken, I'm sure the platform is just growing like crazy.
You know, I think the key, and again, this is a core value for how we built One Gold. Our job was to make the process easy, make it something that you can understand in a matter of seconds, not hours. Give you modern day conveniences like linking your bank account to move funds interchangeably whenever you want, other payment methods, giving you the ability to redemption in a matter of a couple of clicks on your phone and not having to go out and call a guy, you know, in whatever state they are and ask about how to do physical and find out you're getting ripped off. We try to make it super, super easy. The app is a beautiful app. I mean, you know, Craig, people don't realize that we have 75,000 downloads of the app since January.
Wow.
75,000 downloads. I mean, it's an incredible thing. We've got a 4.6 rating on the app on 1,400 reviews. You know, we've already had 3,700 reviews on the website at a 4.8 rating. You know, so we know we've built a really consumer-friendly, easy-to-use product. But we recognize it's not for everybody. Matter of fact, the story I tell people is my physical buyers on Apmex are not necessarily my One Gold buyers. Okay, they tend to be a little different. They tend to be a little younger on One Gold. They tend to be a little more up to speed on apps and modern technology. But the reality is the number of new customers we're adding to the precious metal space as a whole, not just One Gold, is mind-boggling. I tell you, if there's anything I'm happy to see, finally, is I believe gold and silver are becoming more mainstream investments than they ever have been in the past. Look at the inflows into the ETFs, although I'm not a fan of ETFs, but the inflows don't lie. Look at the new customer counts we're seeing. I mean, I'm seeing new customers counts up 200% year over year on Atmex, and then on One Gold, it's exponential. The numbers are just massive compared to history, just because we're such a young company. So it's great to see people getting into precious metals. We've always talked about it, Craig, about why it's good to be in metals, whether it's for diversification, whether it's be to have a different alternative type of approach to your investments. It's just a great thing to see, and One Gold is really done well. Consumers are very, very positive on the concept, and we're just getting started, man. It's got a great future, and complementing Atmex with the physical side, we now can play as a company. We can play in either space. One Gold's a worldwide product. People don't realize it. Over 15% of my customers are worldwide. And I'll shut up here, but I am adding, euros and pounds and international storage locations, to the point where ideally One Gold truly is an international product, where, as you can imagine with Atmex, it's a lot more difficult to ship metal across the pond and get it to people's homes. So it's been a great move for us, and we could not be happier with how it's gone. And we really do appreciate your listeners, because frankly, TFMR has been a good source of bringing customers into the fold. And, one thing you always find, Craig, is we're super transparent, FAQs to the nth degree, because, we want to be a company you can trust. We want to be a company that answers questions answered. And if you have to call, gosh darn it, you better get an answer very quickly, or a response to your email very quickly, or we're not doing our job, because we think customers are number one priority and always will be.
No doubt about it. And you're all fully back open back down there in Oklahoma, aren't you?
We are, for our operations team. We actually have about 70% of our workforce is remote. I invested in laptop technology. Goodness, can't say that. IP technology for phones, soft phones. So we've actually been able to have our whole company work remote for about 2 years now. And so when this thing happened, I think one thing we did was we went out and bought some nice monitors so people didn't have to use just laptops. But outside of that, our workforce was ready to go remote, and really we haven't missed a beat. The only thing I don't like about the remote is we lose a little culture, because you just can't see people when you walk the hallways and things like that. But our operations team, wow, what a great team. I mean, they really have fought through this. I can confirm, as of now, not had a single case within an operations team. We went to two shifts so we could spread people out and do social distancing. And, those guys are shipping north of 2,000 orders a day and really attacking the business. And we could not be happier with just how good our operations team is and has always really been, one of our strengths as a company.
Now, you mentioned flow from TFMR. Boy, I tell you what, Ken, back in March, when everything blew up on the COMEX and, and they're flying metal all around the planet. Prior to that, and prior to QE to Infinity on March 23rd, everybody knows price just collapsed and silver went down to 12, 11 something on the COMEX, but you couldn't buy it anywhere for under about 25. And people, were so frustrated. And it was really good for business in general, because people are figuring out, this price you see on Bloomberg is not the same price. Well, why is that? And people started asking questions. But we were able, so many people here were able to take advantage of that dip. And even with the small premiums involved, be able to get into silver at 12, hold it there on the One Gold platform, and then you can convert it to physical whenever you want. It's not a taxable event to convert to physical, right? You just got to...
Correct. Yeah, it's a trade. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're right. No, you're spot on, right? I mean, one thing about One Gold, even today, premiums are still higher than they were pre-March, but they're not as high as they were in April and March. But even today, if you went to the website and you wanted to buy 1 ounce of silver, although my premiums are higher than they were, I was very proud of having 30 basis points for premiums for silver. But the reality is they've had to go up because I just can't get metal. And when I can get it, I got to pay a lot more for it. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But the point is, you go out and you want to buy silver today, you're going to pay, let's see, it's 3% is what we're having to charge right now. Use $19 for spots. So do the quick math on that. It's 57 cents an ounce is what you're paying.
Yeah.
But if you go buy a silver round right now, you're at $2.50, probably is where you're at, $2.50. That's on a 500 or more quantity, maybe closer to $3 to $3.50. So you're still getting a significant discount to get in the metal, knowing physical is always there. And then you just convert it when the premiums come down the road. And we've seen a lot of customers do that.
Okay, so Ken, to that, let's talk about physical demand, because, again, as the CEO of Atmex as well, I mean, if anybody knows, what the physical and the premium market looks like, it's you. You still can't get silver in Canada, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very challenging.
Okay.
So the way you buy metal at the RCM is you're typically buying from wholesalers or banks. You don't really buy directly from the mine, and you don't buy directly from RCM. You actually buy from those who own metal within the RCM operation. And then our RCM validates that the transaction occurred, and they log it on their systems that you own that metal. So we've been hitting the phones left and right trying to get metal, but so much of that metal was going to the COMEX, or so many mines had shut down due to COVID, there wasn't any refining going on.
Right.
Or finally, any silver demand, any silver that was going through the building, the RCM needed to make silver maples and some other products that they make, it became very, very difficult for me to get metal. So what I had to do is the metal I had for sale for about 6 weeks was metal that customers had sold back to me. So anytime a customer sells metal back, I put that back on the exchange, allow people to buy it on one gold, and then eventually it goes back down to zero, and I had to do that. But the reality is that's not a lot of volume because you don't have a lot of liquidation, believe it
yeah.
or not.
Yeah.
And then recently, just recently, literally in the last week, I was able to make a buy from a company called INTL FC Stone. I don't know if you've heard of those guys. They're an international outfit that's coming to the U.S.
Right.
Anyway, I think they just rebranded themselves Stone X. But I had to pay, and not their fault. I mean, they made me the metal available to me. But the price I paid was 9X what I paid for silver in January. 9X. So, you know, sometimes people go, oh, they're charging 3%. The reality is I'm paying north of 40 cents for pooled metal at the RCM right now. That's what the price is. And so I charge 57 cents. So you can do the math. I'm still only making 10
right.
to 12 cents an ounce
right.
is all I'm making on one gold. But, you know, we want to make silver available. We've been working like mad to track silver down. We finally got that one buy in the last week. And so now we have, I think, about 20,000 ounces up for sale. And we're glad we can do that. I will tell you, silver in the U.S., a little easier to do. But honestly, the only way I've been able to do it is I'm shipping silver grain from Switzerland and I'm putting it in the vault.
Tell everybody what you told me earlier about the price you're paying for that versus what you used to pay for blanks.
Yeah, so literally the price of grain, by the time you get done with the logistics and the purchase price, I'm landing it at my dock for about the same price I paid for a silver round, we'll call it, shipped from a local U.S. Mint into my building. So basically my cost for just grain is equivalent of what I'm actually paying for a blank fully fabricated and delivered to my dock. And again, that's okay because it's just hard to get silver right now. Now, I actually think there's plenty of silver available in the world. Unfortunately, it's just not available in the right form for us to be able to, you know, sell to consumers. And so it's gotten really challenging. And if you want to put a deal in to buy some blanks right now or buy some rounds from any of the leading mints here in the U.S., you're going to be waiting 6 to 8 weeks. You can't even get silver rounds right now. And then the tough part is, where do you get the silver from to make those products? Because most of the mints don't provide the silver. You got to provide the silver to the mint. And that's become very, very challenging. I have a partner over in Valcambi in Switzerland that has been fantastic to us. And they've really propped us up and helped us get the silver we need for one gold. Or frankly, I would have had to stop selling silver if they would not have stepped it up like they did.
Right, because you have to have it before you can sell it to anybody.
Absolutely. All times. That's a thing we will never do, never break. And we have outside auditors to come in and validate that the metal's on hand. And so I've got to go procure it. So I'm literally putting, you know, I'm putting 600,000, I'm putting a truckload of silver. So that's just to give you a feel for it. 600,000 ounces at a time. I'm putting a truckload of silver on the belly of an airplane and flying here.
So when we see on the one gold side, Canada silver, unavailable.
Right.
Because you can't get it in Canada ahead of time. So, but you can buy U.S. silver. What other silver products are there on the One Gold platform that are available right now?
Those are the two.
Those are it.
We're actually launching silver in Switzerland. We just launched gold in Switzerland about 2 months ago.
Okay.
And we're launching silver in Switzerland here in the next 3 weeks. And then we're also going to be in London and then in Australia with the Perth Mint. We're launching some product there as well. So, you know, consumers have choices, right? What we want to do is, as a retailer, we learned this a long time ago. Our job is to provide options to customers and let them pick what they want to do. Our job is not to tell the customer what they need to buy. And so we believe strongly in having options. And frankly, the silver gold product, or excuse me, the gold Switzerland product, is actually outselling the RCM gold product.
Hmm. Well,
so kind of to our surprise, to be honest with you. We think some of that's international demand. We also know some people in the U.S. like the idea of storing metal in Zurich, and it's sitting right there at Loomis in Zurich, and they're a great partner of ours, and it's a bonded warehouse, and also will be audited by a third party. We just started that, so no need to audit it yet because there's really not a lot of metal there, but there will be over time, and we'll also provide attestations of the audits to verify the metal. And actually, what's nice about Switzerland is all of those bars are serialized. So they're 400-ounce gold bars, and each gold bar actually has a slightly different weight. And so right. We actually have bar numbers and everything logged, and we're working on an ability to give people visibility to the bar numbers as well that are being stored in Zurich. So that's just where the future's going. We want to build trust up and make sure people know the metal's there. But more importantly, we're just trying to find metal to sell. And as you can imagine, if I can sell metal in Switzerland and not have to ship it over to the U.S., that might be a win for consumers as well.
Yeah, and it doesn't really matter because I've got in my one gold account, I've got some U.S. Mm-hmm. gold, some Canada gold, some U.S. silver, and mm-hmm. some U.S. It doesn't matter to me whether it's
because it really
the price is basically the same. And if I use it for liquidity, if I need to sell an ounce or whatever reason or want to rebalance versus a gold silver ratio or whatever, it doesn't matter to me which one, does it? I mean,
it doesn't. And to your point, when you do redemption on the OneGo platform, you know, what we do is in an instance, we basically liquidate your metal position and we take the dollars and we apply it to a physical buy. So it doesn't matter. You could have cash on hand. You could have silver or gold. It could be any location. By the way, we've never changed the price on the buyback. It's always 30 basis points below spot. So you're paying about 30 bips to liquidate. There's a little bit of spread between on gold and silver that you always will see out there on any website. But it's a fairly low cost to liquidate. If you try to go liquidate physical metal, there's a much, much bigger spread there.
Yeah.
We try to keep that spread tight. And then, again, like I said, allow you to get into physical. It is a trade, so for tax purposes, if you're doing your own taxes, we don't profess to be tax advisors, but our understanding of it is that you can convert that into physical, and that's not a tax event. Your cost basis should carry over. Mm-hmm. It's really convenient. And again, you know, like I said earlier, when premiums are really high, and I tell the stories about what we're paying for metal, the reality is that holds true across the board, right? It's not just grain I'm bringing in for production silver. I'm paying it for fabricated product as well, and if I could even get it sometimes. There was a point where you couldn't get a gold bar anywhere. I mean, you just couldn't get one unless you're buying 400-ounce or investment-grade type gold. You couldn't get a 1-ounce gold bar for a period of time. For about 4 weeks, I couldn't get one. And then when I got one, I found out, guess what, Ken? The premium just went up 3x from the manufacturer. Great. And then I've got to pass that on to consumers, obviously. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of been the reality of it. We're on one gold. A lot of people have just kind of got in at a low cost. They're waiting for premiums to come down. I mean, a gold bar today is probably, I'm going to say, 60, 70 bucks. It was 100 bucks over spot. So it's come down 30, 40 bucks. So some people are kind of taking the opportunity to convert into physical as the premiums have come down.
And Ken, just, I mean, I see this stuff all the time, not from people here at TFMR, because I think most folks understand your business to some extent because we've been stacking metal for so long. But I mean, if I go on Twitter, right, I'll see people say, the only reason, you know, Eagles are $25 is because the bullion dealers are screwing you. You know, they bought them at 18 a couple months ago, and now they're trying to rape everybody by selling them at 25. Can you just, in like English, explain to people how that actually works?
Yeah. Well, look, I know premiums are very sensitive. It's something we struggle with. You know, we do our social media posts to try to let people know what's going on in the world, and never fails if someone, you know, bashes us for our premiums, and it hurts our feelings almost. But the reality of it is, what we try to do is educate consumers the best we can, and we know we're always going to still the industry. Unfortunately, takes a shot for these higher premiums. First thing I always tell people is, it is a little bit of supply and demand. You know, if an Atmex is out there at $100 on a gold bar and Joe Blow over there is selling it for $50, well, then Atmex is gouging you, okay, flat out. But that's not the case. What you find is premiums are generally pretty consistent across retailers and have been for many months now. So that ought to tell you something. If everyone's pricing it the same, we're not all in collusion. We're not all setting the price together. Right. So it tells you a little bit that that's where the market is for the metal. Well, why is that number so high? Well, there's really a couple things driving that. One is our costs are higher, and I know people, you know, go sit back and go, no, how can that be? Do people realize that Gold Eagles, for example, the U.S. Mint raised their price for a period of time? They actually raised their price to us, unheard of, by the way, for the U.S. Mint, but they had to because they were having a hard time getting gold blanks that they could mint, so they raised their price. The other thing, too, is on Gold Eagles, you pay it as a percentage of spot, so if spot goes up, the price of the Eagle just went up. And then the thing I think people really fail to remember is when you're dealing in our space and your cost of inventory shoots through the roof, guess what? You got to finance that. You know, your cost of financing go up considerably, when you're dealing with higher priced metal. But again, I'm not complaining. Are we making profit? Yes, we are. But there are some cost elements, and then there is supply and demand. That's the last point I wanted to talk about is, yes, some guys are actually raising their price. It makes sure everyone's raising your price when I go to buy, but then can you even get it? If you don't have strategic partnerships with key players, I mean, there was a point where people were showing websites where nothing was in stock.
Right.
Well, at Amex, we had a pretty big reduction in stocks, but we were always able to sell certain key products. Why did we do? Why were we able to do that? Because frankly, we went out and we took our capital wherewithal, and we went out and we made big buys proactively in the market. We bet on it, if you will, and then that paid dividends back to us when the markets did get hot and they were busy, and we were able to sell product to consumers when others just didn't have it. So there is a little bit of supply and demand there. Premiums did go up a little bit just because some were in stock and some were not. But at the end of the day, we couldn't keep it on the shelf at the prices we were charging. That ought to tell you the demand was just far, far outstripping supply. And again, you know, look, it's I'm glad premiums are coming down, honestly, because I want more people to get into metal.
Right.
I think the more people that own precious metal, the better long term. I think it's got great merits, and I'm glad to see premiums come down just because I want it more attainable for the broader market. And look, I mean, I told you just a little earlier, in the last 3 weeks, our demand, it's not quite at the March levels, but it's up significantly from May and June even. Like a 30 to 40%, maybe 50% increase in demand in the last 3 weeks. I think that's partly due to premiums coming down, equities continue to struggle, people are seeing the writing on the wall, and then look what silver's done. I mean, Craig,
right.
I mean, my goodness. I'm glad I held on to my silver. I bought plenty at $12, by the way. I was a buyer.
Me too.
Frankly, I was a buyer at 17, I was a buyer at 15, I was a buyer at 12. I'm feeling pretty good about my investment right now, and that's one thing that I think at the end of the day, the premiums unfortunately did get high there, and there are a lot of reasons why. But at the end of the day, none of us could keep it in stock. So there's a little bit of supply and demand. And again, my apologies as a CEO, I don't want to see premiums go that high because I want broader appeal for the masses to take on ownership of metal. And there was a point where ETFs, you know, there was disintermediation. I mean, our pricing for physical couldn't match what an ETF could offer. But I'm telling you, I'm going to go on record and say this, and I think I told you I wouldn't say this on the phone here, but I have high doubts in some cases whether those ETFs truly had physical backing those, only because if they were having to pay a massive premium for that metal, and you don't see them going out and modifying their pricing for the product. So it kind of made me start to doubt a little bit whether or not there's a balanced world out there in the way we sometimes think about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, Eric Sprott and I talk about that every Friday. I mean, the flows, alleged flow of metal into the SLV. I mean, it has
it's
to
impossible.
Just be promissory notes, you know, and things like that. because where are they getting it at this point in that amount of size? And then, you know, that's just one part of that picture. I don't know. You know, when I look at One Goal, I just see a platform that allows me to access kind of this futures market price, and I can get physical metal there. Because again, the shortfall of the SLV, you and I can't get metal out of that thing. It's just an exposure to price, where this way I actually get the exposure to price, but I actually have the physical metal. That stuff I bought in the 12s back in March, and everybody and so many people on this site did. Now, if I ever decide I want you guys to ship me that, I pay a premium, a small premium at that point to convert it again, right?
Yeah, what we do is basically we offer best tier Amex pricing to any One Gold customer.
Okay.
So typically in the physical space, there's tier pricing depending on the volume you're buying. So if you buy, you know, less than 20 on silver, it's one price, and the price gets better as you get above 500. That's the typical approach that you see on a retail website. What we've done for One Gold customers, we said, hey, we're going to give you the best tier pricing on Amex for anything you buy through redemption. And look, we don't see a ton of redemption, but when people want to buy it, we want to give them the best price we can. Because they've been loyal to us on One Gold, you know, we want to make sure they've got the best price possible from Amex. Is the Amex price always the best price in the market? No, it's not. Is it very competitive? I hope so. I mean, I'm the largest seller of physical metal we know in the U.S., at least online. I would like to think my pricing is pretty competitive, and hopefully people can feel comfortable knowing that. Frankly, it's as simple as going. It's like going to Amex and placing an order and just using One Gold as your payment method. That's literally what you're doing.
Right. So, Ken, and we'll wrap up with this, but I mean, I'm looking at Amex right now. The silver page. Silver, spot silver as we speak, is about 1945. So I would imagine the One Gold U.S. silver price is probably about 20, right?
Yeah, it's right in that range, yeah.
Okay. Random year silver Eagles are as low as 26.45 on Atmex.
Right.
So if I want to buy at 20 today or close to the spot price, I can buy it through One Gold. Hold it there, maybe trade it there. But if eventually I want to take delivery of what I bought today at 20, what's that, at least for now, what's the premium go, I mean, to actually then take delivery, another couple bucks?
Yeah, so look, I mean, it's whatever the premium of that, but what is it, $5.99? I can't remember the best. I don't even know what our silver legal price is for random, but it's probably $5.99, and you're going to pay $5.99. I mean, and freight's free, and you're going to pay what a normal retail site. But that same random silver Eagle price was probably $8.99, $9.99 just 2 months ago.
Right.
So
exactly.
So that's the way to think of it. And I really hope that there was a day when the random silver Eagle price was $2.49.
Right.
So will we ever get to $2.49? I'm going to go on record and say you're not going to see that in 2020. I can't imagine premiums getting down to pre-COVID levels. I'm going to go on record and say 6 to 12 months at a minimum. I just think demand is going to require us to have to go out and find the inventory. And you go to my site, by the way. I normally have about 20,000 products in stock on my website. I'm down to like 12,000 products in stock. I can't get the inventory, Craig.
Right.
I mean, I just can't get it anymore. Coin dealers are not seeing any traffic any longer. With COVID, it's pretty much killed that as a sourcing option for me.
Goodness gracious.
I get a little bit, but I'm talking 25% of the volume I used to buy from coin dealers I'm buying today.
God, what if the mines close again, Ken, temporarily, in
Mexico
and Peru?
Thoughts.
Well, anyway, my point is, I was able to secure a price for, I think I bought about 500 ounces back in March at 12 and change.
Yeah. Okay.
If I want to sell it now, I've already made, I mean, it's physical metal that you hold for me.
Yeah.
If I want to sell it at 19, it's a tidy little profit. But so now I don't want to pay $5 premium to deliver it just yet. So if I stand by and wait till that comes down to $3 again or whatever,
then you can do that. Yeah.
I've actually bought physical metal at, you know, what's kind of this paper price rather than, I couldn't buy any physical metal at $12 back in March or anywhere near, you know, 15 or 18. So anyway, it's just such
You're
a great
right
way to do it.
It is, and I even looked at it. It's $20.04 right now for silver on one gold. If you went to sell your silver, you get paid $19.20. So you have an 80-cent spread, which is bigger than normal, by the way. I want to go on record. Even one gold's having to charge more than it used to charge. But in the past, that spread was even much tighter
much
than
tighter.
The number. And I hope it will get. Matter of fact, I had silver. I was at 3. I had it down to 2. I had to go back to 2.5, and I just had to go back to 3 because when I went to go buy silver, I just bought grain. I just bought grain for 45 cents, and that's not delivered. Okay, so I had to raise my price because if I don't do that, I'm literally selling metal at a loss.
Right, you can't do that.
And I can't do that. And I'll go on record to tell you listeners, and these numbers probably don't mean a lot to them for purposes of scale, but I've got 1.8 million ounces of grain either in my vaults or on order right now. And that's my safety valve. I'm have that for a rainy day. I have that for one gold if customers need it. My point is I've taken a very large position because I never want to have to shut down one gold. That would be terrible. And I always want to be able to feed my minting partners metal. So I'd rather be long on grain right now or 1,000-ounce silver bars and just be able to feed the system. And you can do that when you've got our capital wherewithal. I can only imagine how small guys are doing it right now. I don't know how anyone in the digital space could be able to keep up with. I would seriously question their ability to have physical at all times and stay ahead of the game unless they have a very, very good balance sheet, which we do.
Well, and that's why I've partnered with you for all these years, Ken, because I can't take that risk either, you know. I respect you and I respect Atmex, obviously I say this every time. I think one gold thing for part of what you're doing. Because again, like you said, what are you going to do if you suddenly had to sell some metal for whatever,
right.
You know, you need some cash, you know, whatever. What are you going to do? Haul it down to your local coin shop and let them scalp you for $2 or $3 an ounce or something? I mean,
awesome. Two or three, I think it's going to be far more than that.
Yeah,
today.
No kidding.
And look, I think you hit on it. And look, I think I want to make sure that people understand. We want to take care of your physical needs. If you want physical metal, bought from Atmex.com, we're here to serve you. You know, we're going to add 150,000 new customers this year to Atmex.com alone. It's a big business for us, and we're good at it. We take care of you. We're going to get you the metal very quickly. If you have issues, we're going to take care of you. But if you want to get into something where you can liquidate it on a moment's notice, maybe have lower premiums on the front end, have the convenience of linking your bank account, and do an auto investment where you can buy $5 of gold a day for the next 30 days, you can do all that on there. And good, we're here to help you there too. And that's really what we're trying to do. And you know, look, I've told you some new things coming, man. I've just signed, or I'm in the process of signing. Finally, get this debit card thing, not debit card, but credit card thing. Finally, figured out. It's not going to be where you buy your groceries in gold, but I'm going to be able to offer you rewards in gold.
Meaning,
you go out and buy your groceries, I'm going to be able to give you 1% that you're going to be able to go spend on Atmex.com for your metal, or you're going to be able to take that as you're going to be able to put that toward one gold digital metal. But you're going to be able to get the dollars to be able to turn right into metal for every time you use a credit card. First thing I know of ever existing in the market. Doesn't exist at all, I don't think, out there. It's not a debit card, because in my personal belief, why the hell would you want to take a debit card and spend your gold? Gold's there for an investment.
Right.
But if I can build my investment up just through buying my groceries,
again,
wouldn't that be a great concept?
For God's sake, in the age of COVID, that beats the pants off of building up airline miles or hotel points.
Yeah, and we've seen, we actually interviewed or surveyed our customers, and the response is overwhelmingly positive. We're excited about it. And look, it's not easy to do this, to go out and, you know, we've got 1.7 million customers that we're able to go to the credit card partners and say, we got a customer list that we think might be interested. Would you play ball? And they won't listen to anybody. It's very, very difficult to get something like this in place. And again, it's taken us longer than we wanted to. I'm the first to say that to your listeners, because I've talked about this before, but we're getting there. I'm hoping to have it by the end of the year, first of next year. Cross my fingers, man. I'm really working hard on it.
Dude, you are working hard, period. And I don't envy you in that regard. You're burning the midnight oil, I think, every single day with everything going on in 2020. We'll see where we go from here. But, man, I sure appreciate you and your companies and all that you do, Ken. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, thanks again. And again, anyone has any questions, please feel free to reach out. We're, like I said, very transparent. Our One Goal team and our Amex teams are really helpful and can answer any of your questions, basically about how the industry works or spot works to what products to buy to, you know, what to be concerned about. We're here to help you out.
You're awesome. All right. Get back to work, my friend.
Take care, my man.
All right. Thank you, Ken. And from everybody here at TFMR, thanks for listening. I'm pretty sure you found this helpful and informative, and please check out One Gold and Atmex.